Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Well, that, of course, is the serenity prayer so associated with Alcoholics Anonymous and all the other anonymous groups out there that follow the 12 steps. Pastor John Olson joins us to talk about Alcoholics Anonymous. He's pastor of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pipestone, Minnesota. He made a presentation at a Higher Things Youth Conference titled AA and the Gospel. We've only got about 30 seconds before we take a break. Pastor Olson, welcome.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me.
With only 30 seconds, and we'll pick it up on the other side, is AA Christian?
No, nor was it ever intended to be. Next question. Since there's no divine redemption, forgiveness, salvation, or eternal life even offered in AA, I would say no. The only thing offered in AA is help with stopping drinking.
All right. When we come back from this break, we're going to get into it thick and heavy. Alcoholics Anonymous, our subject, Pastor John Olson, will join us. You've heard him say it. It's not Christian. It never was intended to be. What is it intended to do? What is it designed to do? Get you sober and keep you sober. That's all. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial will match 50 cents on each dollar you donate to Lutheran Public Radio, up to $300. So, if you donate $300 to Lutheran Public Radio, Thrivent will send us an additional check for $150. For more information, look for the Thrivent Giving Plus gift form under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Make your gift to us go further with Thrivent Giving Plus.
When you hear the words new music for your congregation, do you automatically think of mindless praise music? Well, think again. Liturgy Solutions has new compositions for all seasons of the church year that are firmly grounded in the Reformation truths of Christ for us in word and sacrament. Check us out on the web at www.liturgysolutions.com. At Liturgy Solutions, we don't do worship, we're deep into liturgy. www.liturgysolutions.com.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Pat, an 80-year-old grandmother of 20, wrote after watching my weekly TV program, Facing Life Head On. As a mother of seven, she knows what it's like to face an unexpected pregnancy. Now, she writes, these children give me love, care, and a reason to live. What I would have lost cannot be measured if abortion had been a legal option. They were not accidents to be erased by human hands. I will work with you in every way I can to stop abortion. Pat knows what I want everyone else to understand, that unexpected pregnancy will be tons of blessings down the road if you just trust in God and follow His will. Things may look bleak right now, and the road ahead may be a tough one, but you'll never regret giving life to your baby. If you're considering abortion, choose life.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, September the 16th. Pastor John Olson is our guest. We're talking about Alcoholics Anonymous and the Gospel. He's pastor of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pipestone, Minnesota. He made a presentation at a Higher Things Youth Conference titled AA and the Gospel. Before the break, you said AA is not Christian, nor was it ever intended to be. It's not designed to deliver a message of repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ. It's designed simply to help people deal with and remain sober from various addictions. So how do we deal with the higher power stuff, the surrender notion? All of these things seem quasi-Christian, and especially to a lot of people who participate in AA and like programs.
The difficulty, I guess, and confusion comes where in the first few steps right away, the alcoholics ask to recognize that there is a higher power and that that higher power will help them stop drinking. It's when we get into defining who that higher power is. AA goes out of its way to point out that it's God as we understand him, basically leaving it to the individual for understanding who God is. This helps in terms of bringing in anyone who's not a Christian into Alcoholics Anonymous. So in that regard, it was a very good idea. We want everyone to not be drunk, and that's done by including that thought.
What is Alcoholics Anonymous? Give us just a primer on the group.
Well, the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous, which if you go to a closed meeting, I think even at an open meeting, it would be read, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There aren't any dues or fees for AA membership. We're self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Doesn't wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. And I think this last part is the whole point of AA. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
There is a profound truth that I think does resonate with sound scriptural teaching that, at least in a civil sense, AA and other groups have landed upon. And it's encapsulated there in the first step, this powerlessness to overcome this addiction, this notion that I cannot control this substance. This substance is now controlling me. And it sounds an awful lot like this notion of how a Christian comes to grips with who he is as a fallen sinner, too. It sounds like a Christian stepping into that situation with a sound knowledge of repentance would at least be able to find something to grab onto there.
Yeah, especially if they understand what sin is. I think that with many of these very public and very hurtful sins, we tend to raise, for example, alcoholism or the homosexual activity or things to a level that is higher than any other sins. To be an alcoholic, to be drunk, is no different than any other sins. And to understand that sinfulness is our problem goes a long way to helping, especially if it's an alcoholic Christian. They can see where they're to go to receive forgiveness and to help with their stopping drinking, if it's a problem.
Without disparaging the second step of, because it obviously is theologically inadequate to talk simply about a higher power, God as you understand him. But if you would at least just compare this notion of a higher power with the full-blown notion of God as the Christian scriptures present him and reveal him.
Well, I think a pastor could do well to explain that the second step in particular, that believing for a Christian, believing that God can and does daily forgive our sins for Jesus' sake, that is foundational to every Christian's life. For the alcoholic, it's specifically for the sin of alcoholism, but if you want to go a little deeper on that question, I can.
Well, please do. Please do.
Do you have the second step right in front of you to read?
Yeah, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity.
Yeah, for the alcoholic, it's specifically when they're going through their steps, the sanity being not to drink anymore, and that God would do that. For the Christian, that is obviously through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God. And I think in the next couple steps, you see how the Holy Spirit works through, in the Christian church, through means in the 12 steps. They're onto something there, that God is the one who's going to do that. It's a lot easier, I think, for the Christian because they know the Holy Spirit brings forgiveness through things like confession, absolution, the Lord's Supper, and even simply just reading God's word of the gospel. There's a lot of comfort in that.
So kind of pausing at this point, it sounds as though the picture that emerges for me here is that harkens back to what you said at the beginning. As a program for sobriety, the 12 steps have some affinity with a Christian worldview, Christian understanding of ourselves and our relationship to God, but they fall short theologically, yet they're still useful for the process of sobriety. Is that
right.
A good summary?
Yeah, I think it's a good summary. I think knowing the history a little bit of AA, there was a lot of there were earlier attempts prior to the 30s with things like the Oxford Movement and other things where they brought in religion and they failed. And so AA purposely wanted to avoid some of those things and specifically deal with alcoholism and not make it defining the theology too deeply so as to turn others away. I think when you're an alcoholic, realizing you have a problem, facing up to God and confronting sin is very scary. And to start right away with sin, death, and the power of the devil, AA was, I think, smart to wait on that for a little bit. In the later steps, it talks about sought through prayer and meditation, improve our conscious contact with God. And I think that's where the church really can come in and help.
Is there, while there are cautions all over the place here, it seems that the, and what I've noticed in the literature of AA is that they are meticulous. I mean, they are ruthless in their focus on sobriety and sobriety alone, not on other aspects of your life, not on being a spiritual resource for anyone, not on trying to instruct people in any particular theology. That seems to be one of the selling points here for me, that if they're going to be a sobriety program, they stick really close to that goal and that goal alone.
And from what I've experienced and I've heard, the meetings that stick to alcoholism, the 12-step meetings that stick to alcoholism are the best ones. The ones that tend to venture off, even though they can use 12-step programs for Narcotics Anonymous, Al-Anon, Alateen, they would be, well, it would be very good if they stuck to alcohol and would keep the focus on stopping drinking. Sometimes that those other emphases work their way in. People have problems, and they want people to talk to. And AA is very smart in keeping those things strictly with staying stopped drinking, to be put it simply.
Let's talk a little bit before we take a break about the how you would evaluate the nature of this addiction as a pastor in light of Scripture, the goal is total sobriety with AA, and that it is a lifelong goal. This is, you talk to alcoholics and say, I'm a recovering alcoholic, I'm a recovering addict. They don't say, I was. They say, I am. Talk about that from a pastoral perspective, if you would.
Well, at any point, an alcoholic can choose to pick up a drink. And so an alcoholic who's recovering and going to AA meetings is going to be saying, I am one drink away from getting drunk, and as long as I don't pick up that first drink, it isn't going to happen. I have found through experience with other alcoholics and the like that the ones that go to meetings, the alcoholics who take it seriously, the ones who supplement their 12-step program with regular confession and absolution, regular church attendance, regular discussion with their pastor, even private discussions with them, they stay sober.
What does it mean, with only a minute here, when you hear members of AA say, it works if you work it?
Well, you can read the 12 steps, but if you're not applying them to your life, for example, we've done some of the earlier steps, the latter steps, it is very much like applying the Ten Commandments to the Christian's life, for example, and I have catechism later this afternoon. We take a look at our lives according to the Ten Commandments, and in AA, they specifically for drinking, they take a look at their lives in terms of a fearless inventory of their lives and wanting to do better. That is the rest of those steps, and you have to be working your AA program. If you're ignoring that you're resentful towards somebody or other things, those things, resentment being one of the number one reasons an alcoholic goes back to drink, if they're not focusing on those things, there's a good chance they'll drink again.
Folks, I want to hear from you about AA. You can call, email, or Twitter us during this break. And as usual, when we're dealing with subjects like this, you can call, Twitter, or email anonymously. If you do keep your anonymity a secret here, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. Email us, talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org. Or if you're following us at Twitter, you can Twitter us at issuesetc. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 16th. When we come back, having the church come to grips with the fact that its people, its pastors, are as subject to these addictions as anyone else. We'll be right back.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
Historic liturgy. Cool. Liturgical dance. Not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning. Cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are my soul.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes in this hour, 10 more minutes in our conversation on AA with Pastor John Olson, pastor of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pipestone, Minnesota. He made a presentation at a Higher Things Youth Conference titled AA and the Gospel. In the second hour of the program, Tim Townsend, religion reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, joins us to bring us the story about a controversy surrounding a St. Louis grocery store manager who has displayed a crucifix, not just a cross, but a crucifix on the wall behind the customer service counter, and he and the company are catching flack for it. We'll have some open lines getting your thoughts on the display of a crucifix at a grocery store during audio open lines, and then Dr. Thomas von Hagel will join us from Concordia University, Chicago, to talk about 3rd century bishop and martyr Cyprian of Carthage. How do you respond, Pastor Olson, to someone who would say, look, I mean, I go to church on Sunday morning. I don't see any alcoholics there. I know what an alcoholic looks like. This shouldn't be a problem for devoted Christians.
Well, I think that there are a lot of, well, frankly, alcoholics who are able to go to work and dress nice and show up in church on Sunday. What they don't see for that 1 hour the rest of the week is the rest of their life and what they're doing. We tend not to see too many of the alcoholics that we picture like sitting on a park bench with a brown paper bag showing up at church. But I would hazard a guess that there are quite a few more alcoholics in our congregations than we are led to believe than the pastor even knows about.
And should the pastor know about it?
If the person wants help, I would say, yeah. I don't go out of my way to, interrogate people. I think you can see certain things. Alcoholics tend to think that they can hide it for a while, but tends to become pretty obvious if they've got a serious problem. And I think the pastor has an obligation to ask questions lovingly, of course.
A caller asks the question, does the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod have a position on Eucharistic wine and alcoholics?
I think that's it's an important question, a good question, a common question. I think the question is getting to the question more specifically of whether wine or grape juice can be substituted for wine, if I'm understanding that right.
Or if there are other arrangements that can be made with regard to the Eucharistic wine. One drop in a cup of water or something like that.
Yeah, and that's where I was going with that. I think the best practice would be to dilute the wine down to the point where, as long as it had some wine within water or whatever, that would be preferable. Even diluted wine can lead to temptation. I actually have the CTCR document in front of me, and there's no satisfactory answer in their opinion. From my experience, if there is any temptation, the alcoholic should refrain from communion and talk to his pastor and try to work through it with his pastor. Not be afraid to talk to his pastor or her pastor.
I have met alcoholics who will say, I've been sober 10 years and I've never not gone to communion because I don't associate. That's not the same thing for me. Yes, there's alcohol in the wine, but it's a different thing. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that's a person that sounds like they're taught regarding what communion is, and it's the blood of our Lord, and he actually commands in the scriptures that we use wine. And I think when Christians are taught and understand what it is they're receiving, the forgiveness of sins, Christ's blood, I think the mental emphasis on the wine, and it is in reality wine as well, it becomes less important. I think early on for an alcoholic, and that's relative to any alcoholic actually, early on can be 1 month or 5 years, to refrain from communion is not a terrible thing, although I would be in conversation with your pastor and working toward it, because communion is very important.
How would you evaluate AA in the 12 steps in terms of law and gospel?
There is no gospel in the 12 steps. I think if there is a weakness and a concern for Lutheran pastors, Christian pastors, it is that there is no forgiveness offered there. That is a list of things to do to stay stopped drinking. And pastors and churches and families can do everything they can to support their friends and family that are alcoholics by being patient and forgiving them. I think that is one of the biggest... I don't know that AA could have done it any other way. I'm not saying there's a better way, but I think that it can be an awful burden to carry around all these 12 steps and things to do with no forgiveness, because they're all going to fail.
So it sounds like the alcoholic, no matter where they are in the 12 steps, is going to have to find the gospel someplace else.
I think so. I've looked and looked and looked some more, and I don't see any gospel in it. Mostly because it's restricted to staying stopped drinking. And for that, it probably doesn't need it. Although, there again, I think the gospel can help a person stay stopped drinking, too.
Okay, so for a Christian who understands the 12 steps as, look, this is law. This is a simple law, and this is a regular, the kind of the honest and the ruthless moral inventory that must take place. Where should they find this gospel, this message of Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins? And how does that then also aid them not only in in everyday life, the Christian struggle, but especially with their struggle against the addiction?
The gospel, I'm thinking of it as a pastor. If an alcoholic is going through a 12-step program and they are going through the steps, they're being honest and willing to do it, they're going to get to the fifth step. And I've done work with retreat or treatment centers, and they have called in clergy to assist them with this when the patients ask for it. And the fifth step is admitted to God, ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Now, I'm maybe taking liberties here, but when I am asked to do a fifth step, I make it a point to bring my hymnal, my pastoral care companion, and not only do I have them do their fifth step and admit their wrongs, but I forgive them with the absolution. I make a point of it because just saying I did these things wrong to me is not enough. They need to hear that Jesus died for them too, and for their sins, as grievous as they can be, Jesus died for all.
Daniel in Lincoln, Nebraska says, oftentimes those most vehemently against using or doing something potentially dangerous are those who are former addicts. In the case of alcohol, there may be a temptation to advocate for abolition, even though most people can enjoy a few drinks without abusing it. Does AA deal with falling into the ditch on the other side? If so, how? With about a minute for a response.
I think the more mature and sober people realize that alcoholics are not going to go out into the world and stop everyone from drinking. And, from a Christian point of view, this is part of the world that we live in, and it becomes a problem. God has things that are good and things that are bad, and we tend to think of things that are good and use them wrongly, and that's where it becomes a problem. But I don't think that prohibition really is the way out of this. I think they were smart in not making it that. The earlier attempts at AA did, the Oxford movement did, which, by the way, was before the 1930s, and history of our country was prohibition a little bit before that. So they saw the wrong with that. So I'd say no. They're careful not to fall in the other ditch, I should answer the question.
Pastor John Olson is pastor of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Pipestone, Minnesota. He made a presentation at a Higher Things Youth Conference titled AA and the Gospel. Pastor Olson, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Sounds to me like when used for its limited purpose, any tool, anything, you know what, politics has no gospel in it either. Neither does having your car fixed or going to the doctor. There's no gospel there, but we do them. Why? Because they are part of those, what would we say, first article gifts. God has given me all things, my eyes, ears, reason and senses, and still preserves them. It's part of that first article gift that God has given, and we don't expect to find the gospel there. We might expect to find sobriety there. But sobriety and the gospel are two different things. A person could be sober, recover from alcoholism, and apart from Jesus Christ, perish eternally. The gospel is found someplace else. And it's a good thing we know where to find it, and it is not one of those things that involves 12 steps. It's a one-step easy thing. Jesus came and did it all for you. He lived for you. He died for you. He gave his life for you. By the way, we're going to post a link to Pastor Olson's essay titled AA and the Gospel under the on-demand page of our website tonight, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. When we come back, Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. is straight ahead. Tim Townsend is going to join us. He's going to bring us the story, a controversial story about a St. Louis grocery store manager who has displayed for some time a crucifix on the wall behind the customer service counter. Managing a new store, he has a new set of customers, and they are none too happy to see the crucifix hanging there. Tim Townsend, religion reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, will tell us the story, and then I want to hear from you, your thoughts about displaying a crucifix at a grocery store. Would it be easier for people to take if it were an empty cross? What about other religious symbols? Is this a church-state issue for you? Audio open lines after we talk with Tim Townsend in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.